I just wanted to let you know I made that mistake.
This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 23 through 27a. Can we really trust that God is good and just? This is the overarching question raised in the disturbing and troubling story of Job. It's an ancient story about a wealthy man who adored his large, thriving family. For an older man, Job also enjoyed optimal health. In the community, he was well respected as a kind, wise, and moral man of God. Suddenly, in one single day, his entire fortune is completely wiped out, and all his children are killed in an accident. Shortly thereafter, Job contracts a painful skin disease that causes nasty, irritable sores to break out all over his body. Job's wife and his close friends are baffled by all this and wonder why this good and upright man is suffering so greatly. Understandably, Job is at the end of his rope. He openly accuses God of being unjust. God, he claims, is not operating the world according to principles of justice. His friends, however, are convinced that Job must be hiding some kind of sin, because sin is always the cause of suffering. They hold an intervention with their utterly broken friend, but Job will hear none of it. He insists that he is totally innocent, and he vehemently alleges that God has unfairly targeted him. His only chance at vindication, he claims, is to bring his accusations directly before God. In today's reading, Job passionately argues his case to his friends. Hear the pleading of Job from chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. The word of God leading us to be a people of God.
Please pray with me. God of mystery and paradox, help us in our desire to understand. Open our minds and soften our hearts. Prepare us to receive the deeper truths you offer in this story. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story of Job is one of the original classic dramatic stories. In fact, Job's fingerprints can be found on all great epics, from Homer's Odyssey to The Wizard of Oz, from Dante's Inferno to Alice in Wonderland, and countless other mythic stories. And these are the archetype mythologies that help us form meaning in life. Stories that help define the deep truths found in our common humanity. And they symbolically represent our collective struggle to live an ordered and meaningful life of peace, in harmony with those we love. The story of Job is the definitive archetype of all dramatic storytelling. We meet this happy-go-lucky protagonist, right? living the good life without a care in the world. And then suddenly, our hero is blindsided with some kind of tragic event that is not of his own making. Out of nowhere, the bottom falls out from under the firm grounds that he always knew. And unmoored from his stable foundation, he stumbles blindly in the dark, inevitably free-falling into this abyss of uncontrolled chaos, where the chaos monsters dwell, running wild, seeking to devour. This descent into the void is what always, always signals the beginning of a mythic journey. The dramatic need, then, is to find the way home safely. It is always our undoing that is the start of our remaking. Our hero will eventually emerge, bloodied and scarred, but also transformed, stronger, and enlightened in some kind of new deep wisdom. If we can trust the archetype, then wrestling with the dark chaos monsters seems to be the only way, in fact, we grow. Chaos forces us to establish a new order. The disorienting bedlam of unknowing ignites sparks of profound insight. These are the labor pains that give birth to what is next. This is a perennial pattern in every single drama and in life. The story moves from order to disorder and then finally a reorder. Disorder comes in the story of Job as he is forced to entertain the horrible possibility that the God he has relied on his whole life may, in fact, not be reliable. Where is God, the God of justice, when chaos is unleashed on a whim? Is it possible that God may not be good all the time? Job fearlessly demands answers. Answers to the questions of innocent suffering. He is morally outraged at God, the God who could permit such atrocities. Perhaps you've asked the same question. This is the God problem. In the light of all of life's perplexities, such as human suffering, can we really rely on a God of justice? How do you react to God when suffering comes? What happens to your faith when God is silent in your pain? Why? Why me? Why now? It's not fair. What did I do to deserve this? These protests come wailing out of the mouth of my 3-year-old grandson. And also my 93-year-old grandfather. You see, this is a universal lament. Our sense of what is fair and just starts early in life and stays firmly rooted in our psyche as we age. Because every single one of us wants to think that we know what is just. Every one of us values and defends our personal integrity. I have not met many people who think they deserve to suffer. So to wail out in complaint when things don't go our way is a natural and normal and important emotion. For people who have faith in God, our laments frequently have a specific target. In fact, there's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. And these are 5 long poems of emotional anguish and raging complaints to a God who seems indifferent to our pain. Also, the book of Psalms are mostly poems that put God's timing and God's faithfulness into question and beg for God's swift justice to hammer down upon the deserving enemy. No matter what your theology, we all have fairly strong opinions about what is right and what is wrong, what is fair and what is unjust. Morality, fairness, and justice is really a hair trigger emotion in most of us. If someone cuts me off on Route 2, a switch gets flipped. I go insane. It's unjust, unfair. We seem to have this deep conviction that law and order is the only thing that keeps the lid on chaos. Fairness is what the social contract is really all about. Follow the rules and the good life will come. For people of faith, this social contract also extends into a covenantal understanding between God and us. And despite all evidence to contrary, we still want to believe that if we are good, then God will be good to us. We will be protected from the suffering if we follow the rules. And we're surprised when it comes. For many of us, the well-being of our faith is predicated on a transactional agreement, a mutual exchange that we trust is binding and reliable. And then it happens. The diagnosis is incurable. The betrayal, undeniable. The bankruptcy, unavoidable. The unexpected death, so final. Where is your God when disaster, pain, and suffering visit you or your family? Job's faith in God was based on the same exact idea. Good things will happen to good people. Life is ordered on a moral cause and effect. Job was a good person. He really was. He never offended God, and yet through no fault of his own, he lost it all. His health, his wealth, his family, his social status. And on top of the physical and emotional suffering, now Job's entire concept of who God was on shaky ground. The God of his understanding had utterly failed him, and Job's sense of justice demanded that God must be held accountable. Can you imagine? Ironically, it's Job's faith, or more accurately what Job thought he had faith in, that actually compounded his suffering rather than bring him comfort. He was so certain that his idea of justice was God's idea of justice that the only hope he had left was to challenge God and vindicate his integrity. "For I know that my Redeemer lives," he says, "and that at the last he will stand upon the earth." And he was right, only not in the way he thought. Not only does his Redeemer live and stand upon the earth, but more to the point, we know that his Redeemer also dies. In the gospel story, God enters into our pain. The Redeemer lives and the Redeemer dies. God understands and has compassion for innocent suffering. Toward the end of Job's story, God does appear in response to the summons issued by Job. And he treats his accuser to this 3D IMAX virtual reality tour of the cosmos. The celestial veil parts. Aboard God's magical mystery tour of the universe, Job is caught up in a jaw-dropping wonder. He's awed beyond words. He sees past, present, and future as one. And it becomes fearfully evident that this is the one God who is the very connective tissue and life force that animates a vast interconnected web and has the power to hold it all. Job is let inside the mystery that we know is the good news of the gospel. Our suffering is not our own, and my life is not only about me. Job is awakened to this much, much larger picture, one that far surpasses even life and death. And he does return home again, bloodied and scarred, and also transformed. He is moved from the injustice of my suffering to the greater integrity found in solidarity with our suffering. If my Redeemer lives, and my Redeemer also dies, then I can endure any suffering, knowing that God is still with me. Now, having walked this path more than once, I can tell you, and you already know, that when you're in the middle of that dark valley, it is hard to imagine the way home. Keep walking. Keep walking. You are not alone. You know, Job gets no explanation or justification whatsoever for innocent suffering, and that makes a lot of people mad, as if there is one. But he is justified by God for his fierce honesty and unrelenting courage to question God, the God of his understanding. His epic adventure is rewarded with a deeper understanding of the cosmic reality of our oneness, both in joy and in sorrow. He is home again, bloodied and scarred, and also transformed by and with some very hard-won wisdom, and enlightened by compassion. This is the God who is with us, suffering and loving us, walking with us, comforting us. I do not believe God is the cause of suffering or allows bad things to happen. The God of my understanding would never allow anyone to suffer. And what Job learns is that this is the God who is always good. The God who is somehow able to transform everything that's horrible. And even innocent suffering is transformed with new life, always. It turned out that it was Job's undoing that were actually the birth pains of his remaking. The universal truth here is that chaos has a place and a purpose. New order always emerges out of the chaos. The poet mystic Rainer Rilke wrote it perfectly. Listen to this beautiful. This is printed on the front of your bulletin too. No one ought to ever love their suffering, but no one ever loves without its pain. We come to wondering if there was something we could not yet see, that winged thing that merges with the earth's suffering to make us what we otherwise would never be. I'm glad that's printed there. Take it home. Let's consider that. You know, there's another epic story in the Bible. It's the good news that we call the gospel. The gospels teach us about a God who enters into the violent, oppressed, and despairing world to bring about new life. New life comes from the darkness. That's the story. And what I take away from both Job and the gospel is that God walks with each one of us in solidarity with every challenge we face, every suffering that comes. In this Good Friday world, my hope remains because I know that Easter's coming. And that winged thing that merges with the earth's suffering will make us what we otherwise would never be. In joy and in sorrow, thanks be to our reliable God. Amen.